risen. So I want to add my welcome along with Pastor Jonas to you. It's great to have you here. Great to celebrate the good news of Christ's resurrection. And what I want you to know as we celebrate this morning is that this news is not just something that's really good about after we die. And it's not just some kind of abstract truth that's good to believe in. But it's actually something that can change your life and our world right now. I've been struck coming up to this Easter by all the great things that are happening. This morning I came out on my porch while it was still dark outside and let our dog Chip out. And I couldn't see very well, but I could sure hear the birds. You know, the spring is here, and the birds were just singing praise to God. This duck quacking his praise to God as he flew across the sky. It was amazing out there. I came to church, and after, you know, doing my thing early on, I came out into the lobby out here, and the first couple that I saw was a couple who just got engaged 2 days ago. And I'm like, yes, it was really fun to see them and celebrate with them. You know, I don't know if you've noticed, but on the altar over the past 2 months, I don't know how long has it been, we keep having these rosebuds up here. There are indications that another baby has been born. It's been really exciting to see. We brought in some new members. There's just been a lot of really good things happening. And yet as we come to Easter 2017, I'm also, I think, more aware than I can remember being coming up to an Easter of all the troubles, the challenges that surround us too. I was thinking, praying this morning about members of our congregation, myself included, honestly, who are coming to Easter this year aware that somebody who's been really important to you is no longer here. You know, they've gone on to glory, which is such good news for them, and yet really hard for those of us who remain behind. I think of an email I got this past week from a young person who, in his circle of friends, somebody had committed suicide. And I think of several conversations I've had in the last couple of weeks with people this week who are struggling in relationships and not sure what to do next because how did things get this haywire? How could it be so crazy? And I don't know how to fix the other person or to figure out myself what I'm supposed to do differently. I just don't know what to do here. And in the midst of all of this, I think about the feelings that we have when it comes to our nation and our world. I don't know about you, but coming to this Easter 2017, I can't remember in my lifetime a time when I felt like we were so divided up in terms of our politics, our thinking about what we should be doing as a nation, who our leaders should be, what they should be doing. And even when we make decisions, we don't have control. There's a sense of powerlessness. Bombs keep going off. And we got the biggest bombs in the world, and bombs keep going off. 112 or so people being transported to safety. Bomb goes off and they die in Syria this past week. South Sudan. I don't think I'll keep going. You know what I'm talking about. All is not well. And for me, at least, and maybe you can relate, there are these times when there's a sense of powerlessness in the face of all the challenges. There can be a sense of frustration, of even anger, of, you know, despair trying to creep in there. Is there any hope? If you feel any of those feelings right now, as you're going through life, as you're walking through this world, this broken world, maybe you can relate just a little bit to what those first disciples must have been feeling as they were making their way to the tomb that morning so long ago. For them, you talk about powerlessness, you talk about frustration, you talk about despair. It seemed like all their hopes, their dreams for the future, the things they were certain about had come crashing down. Jesus had died on the cross. They'd seen it. They'd seen his dead body placed in the tomb. So if you can relate to those feelings at all, as I share with you the Easter morning story of the resurrection from the Gospel of John, I'd invite you just to try for a few moments to put on the sandals of those first disciples. Try to imagine those feelings of despair and frustration, powerlessness as they make their way to the tomb. And I'd invite you to notice how the good news of the resurrection does not just give them a hope that when all this is said and done, they'll make it into heaven. I want to be really clear about this. What ends up happening for these disciples is that their lives are transformed here and now. And that their lives, their transformed lives, end up transforming this broken world that they're living in. This is the good news of the gospel. That Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, and the power of his resurrection can transform your life and mine and enable us to be transforming influences in this world. Now that's good news. Amen. Early in the morning, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. And she said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him." Then Simon Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look into the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head lying not with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, the one who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and I don't know where they've laid him." When she'd said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing that he was the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Mary turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. He said to her, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go and tell my brothers that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went, and she announced to the disciples, "I've seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. That's the good news of the resurrection. And I want to just take a few moments and walk through a few little points along the way, because there are four points that, for me, as I've been reflecting on this in the last couple of weeks, have just jumped out at me as words of encouragement and words by which this good news of the resurrection can help transform my life and our lives and our world. The first one starts with that first word, early. Remember that? Early on the first day of the week. Now, for Mary, I'm guessing it did feel early. You know, even for early risers, getting up before the sun rises, that's early. But for Mary, on another level, it didn't feel early at all. In terms of the story she'd been unfolding in her mind, the dreams that she had been capturing, the certainty that she had for how life was supposed to unfold, what this Messiah was to do, how the kingdoms of this world were going to topple before him, and Rome would be vanquished, and the kingdom of Israel would rise up over all that died on the cross. The story ended. It wasn't early in the story. That story was over. Have you ever felt like that? That you had a story of how life was supposed to unfold, and you hit a dead end? You're like, I thought it was supposed to go this way. Or the grief that we've been talking about that some here this year are experiencing. I know for me, when it comes, it can be like a wave that comes over you and feels like it's going to crush you down. You can't, like, you're not going to get back up. You can't see what's ahead. You feel like it's the end. I want you to know that the good news of the resurrection is that you can trust God's timing. That even when it seems like it's the end of the road, even like when it seems like there's no further story to be told, that this story is over, I want you to know that the resurrection means you can trust God's timing. The resurrection happened at exactly the right moment, didn't it? For Mary, it should have happened 2 days. No, it should never have happened, actually. If Mary was telling a story, Jesus would not have died. If Mary were writing the story, Jesus would have died and then gotten right back up again. But for us, for the salvation of humankind, for God's purposes in the world, the resurrection happened at precisely the right moment. And you can know that this is true in your life. Whatever is going on in your life, God loves you and he promises to be working out his purpose in and through your life. You can trust his timing, even when it seems like it's late in the day, even when it seems like you're at that dead end, the story has no future. God has a future for you, and it's good. It's with a purpose. It's for good. I think of Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It say, you know, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new. Every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The good news of the resurrection is you can trust God's timing. Every new day is a new day, and God is the one writing the story. The second thing that catches my imagination, really, it comes in the next line. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still, anybody remember?
Dark.
Okay, for Mary, it was dark physically, but far more than the physical darkness was the emotional, spiritual darkness. There's, again, no future. It's all kind of crushing in on her. She can't see what the next step in her life is going to be, what the next step for our world. It doesn't look like there's any future, and it's all becoming dark for her, for the other disciples. The good news of the resurrection is that even when she can't see, even when she can't tell that there's even a path in front of her, God can see. We can trust God's perception, even when we have no perception at all. In fact, like me out there on the porch with the dog this morning, sometimes when we can't see very well, our other senses come more alive. We hear the birds that we might not have noticed. And for us too, when our perception is limited, we can trust God's perception. And maybe it's in those moments that the other senses of our heart can open up to recognize God's presence and love for us when we can't see anything at all. Trust God's ability to see. Trust God's perception that God has a plan and a purpose for you, a path for you to walk, and he, the good shepherd, will lead you. You can trust him step by step, even through the darkest of valleys. The third thing that catches my attention so deeply, I think I've spent more time with this one than any other this week, has been how Peter, and it's probably John, never says, it's the disciple whom Jesus loved. They go running up to the tomb, and they go into the tomb, and they're looking around at the grave clothes, no Jesus, and we're told that, and they come to believe, although they don't yet understand the scriptures that say that's what had to happen. And I think about how slow these guys are to catch on. I mean, Jesus told them over and over again, at least three times they're told in the scriptures, that looking at the Hebrew scriptures, Jesus said, the Son of Man, Jesus, must suffer and die and on the third day rise again from the dead. He's told them this, and yet they still don't understand. How could that be? Boy, I thank God for his patience with those first disciples, because what it tells me is that I can trust God's patience too. You know, that I keep wanting to have it all figured out. I keep wanting to be the pastor with all the answers. I'll tell you how to vote. I know the right, you know, I'll tell you how to vote, but I don't know if I know the right answer. I'll tell you my theology, but I know I've got a lot to learn. I'll tell you about the Bible. I love the Bible, but I tell you, I'm still learning. I'm like those first disciples, and I thank God for his patience with me. You can trust God's patience with you. I mean, it's not only about understanding, it's also about God's patience with us in general. Now, think about these disciples. I love the way they go running up to the tomb together. Did you notice that? But the other disciple outran Peter. Like, who cares? Well, the other disciple cares. Probably the one writing the testament there. Ah, a little ego squeaking out there, huh? I mean, isn't that the way it is for us, our egos? I thought I dealt with, oh, there it is again, you know, or whatever that weakness might be for you. Oh, I thought I'd had my greed under control. I thought I had my anger under control. I thought it squeaks out. It comes raging out. Thank God that God is patient with us, like he was with those disciples, like he was with Peter who denied him, like he was with James and John who wanted to be the greatest. Thank God for his patience with Mark Patty, because I don't always get it right. Even when I get it right, I don't get it all the way right. I tend to, you know what I mean? The good news of the resurrection is that God comes to people like Mary and John and Peter and James and you and me, and he says, I love you. I'm so patient. Come with me into life. And the last thing that just really sparks my hope is seeing Mary standing outside the tomb weeping. There she is, so full of the confusion of the situation, so full of her grief, so full of her sense of powerlessness, maybe her anger with things not going the way they should go. In the midst of all of that, she can't even see that Jesus is standing right there with her. It's like that for us. If you ever notice you're getting anxious, you're getting angry, you're getting fearful, you got to know this about yourself, that there are blinders that are taking over in you. When we get anxious, we see less and less of our options, of the people, of the things around us. We just get focused in on survival, and we can't even think very well about that. Here's Mary. The blinders are on. Jesus is right there with her, but she can't even see him. And what we've got to know, what Mary learned, is that even when we can't see him, he is there. We can trust God's presence. That neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the gospel truth. And Jesus says, I will be with you always. And he is. And so no matter what's going on in your life, however great it might be, or however terrible and terrifying it might be, hear the good news of the resurrection. Jesus has risen from the dead, and he is here with you in this room and everywhere you go. The question for you is, are you looking for him? I know some coming here this morning, the answer to that is probably, yeah, not really. You know, maybe you're one who's, I've been there, I've done that. I went to church. I thought about it. I prayed about it. I even believed maybe for a while. But I've come to this place where I just don't believe. And I want to tell you that if that's the case, you're not very different than those first disciples. They'd been there. They'd done that. They'd walked with Jesus for 3 years. But they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that this couldn't be true. That Jesus died on the cross. They were certain of it. And they were certainly wrong. And I want to invite you, if you've kind of made that decision in your life, to at least be willing this morning, this week, to pray a prayer like this. Jesus, if you are real, if you're really here, would you open my eyes to recognize you, to see you, the eyes of my heart to see you? Would you open my ears, Lord, to hear you calling my name? Because that's the kind of prayer Jesus loves to answer. There's no downside for you, I got to tell you, praying that prayer. But the upside is your transformed life. And through you, the transformation of this broken world. We need you. This world needs you. You need you to come alive. Pray for Jesus to open the eyes of your heart. And for others of us here who come believing the resurrection, maybe we've celebrated it many times, many years. What I want to encourage you to do this morning is to not allow the resurrection just to be a neat truth that you kind of compartmentalize, put off to the side, on the shelf, and come back to periodically or even once a year. But I want you also to pray, Jesus, help me to trust your timing. Help me to trust your perception. Help me, Lord, to trust, what was the third one? Your patience. And trust the congregation to help you. And I want you, God, to help me to trust your presence, that I might go forward from this service to live, walking with you, living out your purpose in my life, being a part of your resurrection power alive in our world and making all the difference. Because God knows we need people ready to make that difference. So would you pray with me right now? Lord Jesus, thank you that you work through broken people, struggling people, that you work even through our weaknesses. You did that, Lord God, with these first disciples, leading to them, God, these people who had no faith, to a full-fledged transforming faith that changed the world. Be with us today, Lord, in our weaknesses. And open our eyes to your living presence in our midst. And by the same power that raised you from the dead, raise us up to live lives of faith, lives of hope, lives of love in this world, that we might be witnesses for the world of the truth of the resurrection, of the love of God, with our words and with our actions. We pray in the name of our risen Lord Jesus. Amen.